Well, we celebrate Christmas, and Jesus certainly is a great gift to all of us. God the Father sending his only begotten Son, Jesus becoming man, taking on that human nature in the incarnation, and becoming man. And it's just, it's just amazing. You know, we look at all the characteristics, but I want to focus on of Jesus and focus on basically how he humbled himself to share in our humanity, his humbleness. And we look at, you know, just his, how he lived, how Jesus lived his life. And this humbleness certainly is important for us to be mindful, because we're all supposed to look at that and look at our own lives and say, how am I a humble person? How am I living in a humble way? There's various degrees to this, obviously, but to really look at Jesus and how he underscores the importance of really focusing on not this earth, but the next, heaven. And so by how he lived his life, the circumstances that he came into and lived in. So I just want to go through that and some other elements. So we know, obviously, Jesus, you know, we have this, the picture of the image, the thing of the stable here in the manger scene. So Jesus, God, where was he? He was born in a stable with animals, and then laid in a manger. So it's like, if we were God, would that be the way that we would want to be born? Or would we want to be like in a fancy hospital or something somewhere? But he was born in the simple confines of, you know, a stable with animals and laid in a manger. Of course, there's all kinds of overtones as to what this signifies. So he was born in a humble circumstances. And then Mary and Joseph, you know, who were they? Were they like royalty? They were very simple and they were poor. How do we know that they were poor? Well, when Jesus is presented in the temple, if you go to the book of Leviticus, which is prescribes, you know, all kinds of various things that the people of God, the chosen people of God, the Israelites were supposed to do, it says in there that if you were poor, there's certain things that you were supposed to do in offering, you know, sacrifices and things when you presented your firstborn in the temple. And it says that if you're poor, that you would offer two turtle doves and two young pigeons. Well, that's what Mary and Joseph offered when Jesus was presented in the temple. So in other words, they were poor. Jesus, he became an exile like shortly after his birth. Because remember, Herod was going to have all, and did have all, the two-year-olds and under killed in the area of Jerusalem. Because Herod was afraid that, you know, this new king of the Jews was going to take over his kingship. So at that point, you know, Joseph takes Mary and Jesus and they go and live in Egypt for probably at least a year. So he's kind of an exile. Jesus is an exile there. How many of us would want to be like threatened with our lives and, you know, have to get out of the area? Then when Jesus and Joseph and Mary come back, they go up to Nazareth, and that's where they settle. And you kind of wonder, well, what about Nazareth? What's significant about that? Well, it's actually the opposite. What is non-significant about Nazareth, in the sense that if you go and you read the Gospel of John, when Jesus first meets, you know, his disciples, where John the Baptist is baptizing, two of them are Nathanael and Philip. And Philip says, hey, come and see the Messiah. He's from Nazareth, and Nathanael responds back, can anything good come from Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth? Like, you know, it's like kind of like this place where people that aren't so good live. But that's where Jesus was living. And he lived there for, you know, he lived there until he was 30. So he lived in simple conditions. He lived in a place that maybe was scorned upon. And then what did Jesus have? He lived with Mary, basically until he was 30. So it probably was Mary's house. And then when he left home and went out and did the public ministry thing, he was living with Peter in his house. So did Jesus actually ever own a house? I don't think so. It seems like he didn't. So here's our God. What did he actually own? So it's like, here Jesus is coming and living in these simple, humble circumstances. And it's just like, okay, again, it's something for us really to meditate on. Okay, so he had humble circumstances as far as how he lived. But then he also, just in becoming man. If we read St. Paul is addressing his followers, and he's really trying to encourage them really to be humble themselves. And he shares this, he basically says, and Jesus, who though he was, though he was God, didn't deem equality with God something to be grasped at. Rather, he emptied himself, becoming a slave, became human, was found in human appearance, and was humble and obedient, even to death, death on a cross. So St. Paul is sharing that Jesus, God, became a slave. Now you just think of it this way. You know, in our bodies, there are certain limits that we have. When we have a glorified body, it's going to be a lot better, okay? Just mindful about that. But in our human bodies, we're limited. You know, we can't be in two places at once. There's things that we experience, you know, it's just like pain and suffering and sickness and all these things, you know. It's just like Jesus, he experienced these things, right? So it's kind of like he's in this body and he's living there. This is God. He's like in a body like ours. Remember, Jesus was like this in all things but sin. So it's like, man, he knows what I experience. He experienced it himself. And he had limitations while in the body. And then he was, he died a horrible death. This is one of the things, you know, about the Romans is they had, they kind of wanted to put example, if you were a criminal or a bad person, they wanted to make you an example, like, you don't want to be like the guy on the cross. It was humiliating. You were sitting up there and you're basically, it was very humiliating. That was part of the point of it. It's like, if anybody does, violates the law, this is what's going to happen to you. But Jesus didn't do anything wrong. And yet he took that upon himself. He was humble in that. Okay, if this is what God, my Father, wants. Remember in the agony in the garden, Jesus is like, hey, Father, if this can be passed from me, can you have it passed? But I'll do your will. That's the thing. Jesus did the Father's will perfectly. So Jesus, certainly in that way, he was humble, you know. But also, he lived in his person. He was humble. At one point, Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. And you will find rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. In other words, Jesus was meek and humble of heart. Are we humble in our hearts? Yeah. So something for us really, really to step back, you know, and meditate on this during Christmas time. It's just like, Jesus humbled himself to share in our humanity. He was humble. How are we humble? So there's nothing wrong, you know, with money or things or, you know, having friends and relationships, obviously. But we have to look at, if these things are getting in the way of the Lord in our lives, to really look at that. That seems like Jesus, one of the points he's trying to make. If Jesus came and lived in such humble circumstances, it's just like, well, what is he trying to show us, tell us? It's like, we're really not of the earth. We're called to live in the earth, but we're not of the earth. We're called to focus on heaven, the things of heaven. Again, Jesus at one point said, you know, that it's hard for the rich to enter heaven, but certainly they can, but it's hard for them. St. Paul says the root of all evil is money. Okay, it's like these things aren't bad in themselves, but they can distract us from our goal, God. Having prestige, you know, Jesus was like, who is this guy from Nazareth? You know, it's just like, but he shows us like, hey, the important thing is, as he did perfectly, to do the Father's will in our lives. To do the Father's will. And it's growing in holiness. It's following all that God has commanded us. And certainly we struggle at it. But to have that desire. Yeah. Desire. I want to be holy, number one. I want to be a saint, number one. That's the first goal. Jesus shows us that, certainly. So this Christmas, you ought to step back and look at that. You know, how, Lord, do you want me to be more humble in my life? You know, we look at our prayer life. It's so important. Our prayer life. How are we praying every day? You know, it's like we know that we need God's help. Without God, we can't do it. So to humble ourselves before the Lord and say, Lord, I need your help, especially when we're struggling. We can't do it on our own. I think we will. God will say, you can do it. Go ahead and try it. Ain't going to work, but go ahead and try it. And that's, that's why we need God's help and strength. Certainly we come to Mass every week, right? To be strengthened, to be nourished. Certainly we want to give God praise and worship and glory, but to come and be strengthened, helped to do that to which God calls us, that to which our Father calls us. Remember, in the Our Father, we say, thy will be done. And at the end of the Our Father, Jesus says to the apostles and disciples, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. That's what God the Father calls us to. Now that we attain that in this life or the next, in purgatory, let's strive to at least strive to be perfect now. So we look at Jesus in his humble circumstances, and we just are grateful for God for the gift of Jesus. And we just ask God to help us to be meek and humble of heart, like our Jesus, like the Lord.